It's the Evening Show Live.
Tonight's special guest, gospel music legend, 8-time Grammy winner, Bill Gaither.
And now, our host, Michael Gorey.
Well, good evening. And joining me tonight from his studio in Alexandria, Indiana, gospel music legend, Bill Gaither. Mr. Gaither, it's great to have you on the program.
Michael, you need to go tell Gloria what you just called me, a legend.
Well, you are.
I'm not sure she'll buy that. Good to see you, my friend.
Well, it's good to have you on the program. How are you and Gloria doing?
We're doing great. 57 years of marriage. And when I say that, I don't say that in a bragging way, because we've been fortunate. I think there's a lot of things that go into a long-term marriage. I think when she was walking down the aisle and I was looking at her coming down the aisle, we were both saying, I hope we know what we're doing. And now 57 years later, I have to say, that was a very good decision, and God was in it. And when I say that, I'm always very careful to think of some of my friends who made the same kind of commitment and were just as sincere as I was in doing it. But it takes two to make a marriage, so there are a lot of things that go into any kind of a relationship.
Yes.
And relationships are just not easy. And probably of all the relationships, the marriage relationship is probably the hardest one, because if you get unhappy with somebody at work, you can come home, forget about it, and mama's got macaroni and cheese and all your favorite food and stuff. Hard to get better macaroni and cheese, but you can kind of forget about it. But in a marriage, you're there. If you have a tough time, you're just there all the time. So I'm saying all of that to say, what can I say? I am blessed. I'm very grateful. But I'm also very understanding to some of my friends. I didn't know you didn't want to get into this the first thing.
That's okay.
But you said, how are we doing?
Yeah.
We're pretty amazing. For 57 years of working together as artists, started out as school teachers, but to be working together this long and still really last night eating together and saying, it's really good to be if you're going to be locked down, it's good to be locked down with somebody you love.
That's right. Well, I was 9 years old when I became a Christian, and the little Baptist church in my hometown of Brookfield, Missouri, they would come and pick me up and bring me to church every time the doors were open. And our van driver was a huge Gaither vocal band, Gaither homecoming fan. And he would play your cassette tapes in the van. And that's when I first fell in love with gospel music and specifically with the Gaithers. And how old were you whenever you fell in love with the music of gospel music?
I know exactly. I was born in 36, and I can remember the war years, and not specifically, but various moments when I can remember a Christmas Eve when we lost a dear cousin that we all loved, fighting over in Europe. And then after the war, the radio was a very important thing. And one morning before getting up, Mark Lowry hates to hear this story, and Kevin Williams does too. They've heard it so many times. Getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning, going down, milking the cows, our tie to the outside world was the radio.
Yeah.
And at that point in Indianapolis, there was a 50,000 watt radio station. And all of the early quartets were on one of those major stations. I tuned it in, and there was a group called the Dixie Four singing, Give the World, give the world a smile each day. And I got hooked. And that was my first time. They were the first quartet. Then I started ordering their songbooks. And then they had at the back of the book, they said, if you like this, there's some more groups that do this kind of thing. And I got in touch with the Statesmen of Blackwood Brothers. And in 1948, 49, my dad took me to Nashville and our family. And at the Ryman Auditorium. And if you're in Nashville sometimes, Michael, I'll take you to the auditorium. I take you down to the very seat. It's right in front of a pole on the main row, on the main floor, about 10 rows back from the stage. And I sat there from 8 o'clock at night until 2:30 in the morning and watched my quartets that I loved.
Wow. And of course you and your brother Danny and sister Mary Ann, was it 1956 when the Gaither Trio was formed and you guys began traveling? Is that right?
Well, I heard the music, so I would have been 12 years old, 13 at 49. And then through high school, I bought every, at first they were 78 RPMs. And if you were here in our little town, I'd take you over to the fireproof vault and show you the old collection I have. And then they were 45. That was a smaller record with a big hole in it. And I bought those all the way through high school and tried to sing with some of my high school friends. They couldn't always hear the harmony or hear the pitch. In the summer of 53, I got on a train and went to Dallas, Texas, to the Stamps School of Music. It was like a three-week music camp.
Yeah.
In 112 degrees heat every day, somewhere between 100 and 110, under 12, I think, was the top, in an un-air-conditioned boarding house in Oak Cliff, a suburb of Dallas, Texas.
Sure.
And but I found 600 kids who understood that harmony, 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 harmony. I heard that and I went, wow. There was something about harmony. And I know today in praise and worship, there's a lot of unison singing. You know, just singing.
Sure.
That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But brother, when you put the harmony to it, it's a whole nother ballgame. So in 56, I got together with my brother was a great singer, by the way.
Yes. Yes.
And my little sister, she was just 13, 14. They should have turned me into the, what they call it, child protection agency of working little kids too hard. It wasn't a factory, but she worked a lot of long hours and nights.
That's incredible. You were talking about Mark Lowry a few minutes ago, and Mark has been on the program once already. He's gonna be on for our Christmas special in December. But I asked Mark what was one of his favorite funny moments from touring with you, and he said one of his favorite, but wasn't one of yours. Was the night that he took a drink of Vestal Goodman's water on stage and spit it out and yelled vodka. And he said, it was funny. Bill didn't laugh, so I never did it again. Do you have a favorite funny moment?
Oh, you mean with Mark?
Yeah.
Oh, there are a lot of, a lot of people say, is Mark like that all the time? And, on the bus. But to be honest with you, a lot of our conversations were very deep and very, I know he's going to be with you on the Christmas show. And this went through my head. Tell him that Bill wanted him to tell the folks how I inspired Mary, Did You Know? For
I'll tell him.
Now, the craziest thing about Mark, when he first came, he was making fun of everybody and making fun of his fifth grade teacher who was probably overweight from what his description said. And I can never forget when I said, Mark, you can't keep making fun of everybody else. He said, well, that's what humor is. I said, you know, of course, it's kind of fun from a denominational perspective. So the good thing that Mark did was, I think, to tell the Christian community, you're taking yourselves way too seriously. Take God very serious. But you know, these are man-made institutions, whether you're Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, Catholic, whatever you are. Yeah. And I think he did a great, fantastic job of bringing all of these different elements together in one night and making it work. That's my fault. That's bad to the bone. So, I could call him back.
Okay.
But people hear that ringtone. I didn't know what it was, but I think Mark probably said, I've got a ringtone for you. So when it rings, the young kids all crack up and say, that old man's got that bad to the bone. Is that the name of the song, Bad to the Bone?
I think that might be it. Yeah.
Well, I knew that was going to ring. So,
let me ask you, you know, we're in the midst of a global pandemic and then civil unrest and all that. The world is just, it seems like, just in chaos. Is there a Gaither lyric that if you had 2 minutes where the world watched, what one Gaither lyric would you want the world to hear in the midst of everything that's going on today?
Let the church be the church. Let the people rejoice, for we've settled the question. We've made our choice. Let the anthems ring out, songs of victory raise. Songs of victory swell, for the church triumphant is still alive and well. Don't worry, this old ship has been through battles before, storms and tempests and rocks on the shore. Though the hull may be battered, don't worry. Inside, it's safe and dry, and it's going to carry its cargo to the port in the sky. And I know this is a political season.
Yeah.
And there are people on one side who says, if this person gets in, it's going to usher in a terrible, terrible time for our history.
Yeah.
And there are Christians who feel very strongly about that. And there are folks on the other side says that this person, this party gets in, it's going to usher in turbulent, unbelievable times we're never going to get through. As Christians, I think we need to keep reminding ourselves, we belong to another kingdom.
Yes.
And storms may come and storms may go, but we're in good hands no matter what is going to happen. And I think one of the biggest concerns from what the folks say, that even after the election, no matter who wins, they're really concerned about what may happen as far as anger in the streets.
Yes.
And all of that. And Gloria and I have been doing this together for 47 years. And I've seen that, you know, we lived through the 60s.
Yeah.
We were in Nashville, Tennessee in 1968 after the assassinations of Bob Kennedy and Martin Luther King, where there was martial law in downtown Nashville. We were in the Sheraton Hotel. We looked out on the streets. You would have thought we were in Germany during the war. There wasn't nobody on the streets except the military. We were under martial law. And I can remember how frightening that was. We had just gotten married, had a couple of kids. We said, what is this world going to come to if this continues? That was in 68. Now this is 2020, and I'm sure there are some young parents saying, why would we bring a baby into the world in yeah. these kind of times? Speaking of the baby, you asked me for O'Leary 2 years later, and you got to understand, there were riots in the streets at the end of the 60s, the beginning of 70s. The anti-war people were yelling and screaming about how bad the war was. And professors were in their classes in the university saying God is dead, and if you take LSD, this will help you have a spiritual experience you've mm-hmm. never had. And we said, who would bring a baby into the world this time? And then we wrote, how sweet to hold our newborn baby and feel the pride and the joy that he gives, but greater still, the calm assurance. This child can face uncertain days because Christ lives, amen. Because he lives. I can face fire. I had a lady when we first wrote that song, who said, Mr. Gaither, we sing your song in our church, but we change one word. I said, why'd you change? Says we changed that word about I can face tomorrow to I'm excited about tomorrow. And I said, mm-hmm. sister, I'm glad you're excited, but there may come a day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where you say, can we get through this?
Yeah.
Now this year we have had more emails and letters saying, I don't know. And you know, here we get videos from Brazil of people in the streets singing, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. People who are scared to death because of this pandemic. And in our case, the pandemic added on with the civil unrest that's going on in the country. So, yeah, those lyrics come back to you and say, I think you can still be excited about tomorrow, but right now,
sure.
give me enough grace to face it, okay?
Well, that's I think that's what draws people and the appeal all these years later. I mean, 64 years of you doing what you do, the appeal is still there because the lyric is still as relevant today as it was when you wrote it.
When I first heard the Statesman and the Blackwoods back at the Ryman, 59, 50, they were singing great songs written by Mosey Lister.
Yeah.
Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of your hand. Keep me safe until the storm passes by. I remember when I first heard that lyric, I said, man, what a lyric. And when I heard Stewart's song for the first time, the things of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall they're just borrowed for a while. And yeah. things of earth that cause the heart to tremble, remembered there, will only bring a smile. So
that's wonderful.
Pardon my croakiness.
No.
It is September in Indiana, and regardless of what the virus has done, in September, I always get this pollen and stuff from outside that makes me sound like Walter Brennan, and I'm not trying to sound like him.
Well, you're quite all right. Tell me, I know folks probably are wondering, what does the future look like for the vocal band for the homecoming tour post-COVID?
The vocal band is coming up here in this studio, Studio C. I have told so many people, if you ever come here, Michael, I'll bring you in the studio and I'll tell you there are ghosts in this studio. I come in sometimes at night. It's a pretty big, large room. And I'll come in at night. And if I listen quietly, I can hear a vessel over there in the corner. I can hear Jake singing, till the storm passes over. Her prayer is the key to heaven. I can hear Glenn. I can hear George. So the vocal band is coming up here in 2 weeks from today. And it'll be our first time together since March the 13th or 14th. We were in, I think, Pensacola, Florida for a Friday night concert. And we were watching the president on the television in the bus saying, I'm declaring a national emergency, total shutdown. So you're saying, what is our future? We have stayed in touch. I don't know whether you follow.
I do. I've enjoyed those videos.
We have been blessed in that our company that we're with, Primary Wave, has simply, they understand, back to Mark Lowry, he was showing me a computer about 30 years ago, it seemed like, on the plane. Said, Bill, you've got to get acquainted with this. This is going to be the future of what we do. I said, yeah. And I kept reading my book. I am here today only because of Doug, our engineer, who knows how to turn all this stuff on and run it and play it. So because of the technology, we've been able to stay in touch with our folks. And it's been amazing. Gloria and I have been able to come on this right here. We call it Piano Talks. And we pulled out a video that we did in 1982 when she was 35 and I was 40. It's a little video called Things I Must Tell the Children. Huh. And we put it up on our website. Doug, the last time I checked on it, we just put that up about 6 weeks ago. We've got about 1.9 million views.
Wow.
On that. So thank God for this technology that says, hey, we're not out there personally, and thank God for venues like your venue to say, hey, to all your friends.
Yeah.
Hey, we are here. We haven't gone anywhere. During this time, we have finished doing an album, which is going to be out now this fall. So I'm saying all this, say in 2 weeks, they're coming up here and we are going to video all of those new tunes that we did on this new project, which are very optimistic songs of hope to get. So we have stayed together. Obviously, we're trying to be good citizens as far as, you know, as our concert things are concerned. We had to cancel some pretty big major events. The cruise for us is always a major event.
Yeah.
To have 2,000 people who love what we do and want to take a cruise, want to be gone for a whole week and be cooped into this place and day after day, all they hear is singing, more singing. That's a major thing for us to have to say. This spring, we had to go to the camera and talk to the people and say, we can't do it this July. We can do it next July. And to say to them, we have a wonderful event in Gatlinburg every Memorial Day weekend, a family fest, always is sold out. We can't do it, but we're going to move it, we thought then, in April to Labor Day. Well, we didn't realize how stubborn this little bug was.
Yeah.
And then we had to say, we got to move it now back to next spring. And then we had scheduled the vocal band alumni event where all the singers from the past, including Mark, we were going to do that in Tulsa. And that's not far from Bentonville, is it, Tulsa?
It's about an hour and 45 minutes. I had planned on going to that. So that was sad that they had to be canceled.
So we moved it to August. And then what dictates that more than anything else, you can get by if you got a crowd of 100 or 200, but if you got a crowd of 5 to 10,000 people, they're going to say, hey, not so fast. We can't do that. You know?
Right.
And you know what? We want to be good citizens. So we said, sure. Okay, now we have postponed it now, even that until next year, because I want to do it at the Mabee Center.
Yeah.
Because we've got so many wonderful memories there. And my dear, dear friend who helped start the vocal band, Gary McSpadden,
yes,
died in April at the hospital across the street from the Mabee Center. Now, I know what I'll do when I go in there and park the bus and look at that hospital and say, and I told Carol, his wife, I said, this thing of the night said Gary sang across the street and that Mabee Center is so warm. You could have 20,000 people in there. It feels like you're still in the living room. Yeah. So I wish we could have done it this year, but we'll do it. I think we've now moved it to October of next year. And by then, the bug will be behind us. And if he does come around, we're going to have some good treatment. I even think the treatment for the virus is getting better. Even before they get the vaccine out, you know.
Yeah.
So I can see some light at the end of the tunnel. But until then, we got to be good citizens and do what our leaders say we ought need to do.
That's it. But
did I answer your question? So the vocal band is coming here in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And we're chomping at the bits. And you know what we're going to do? We're all going to get tested. And I got to make my appointment. I got to get tested next week. I've never been tested.
You haven't? I've been tested twice, and it's a lot of fun.
Do they do that thing up your nose?
They do. Yeah, here in Bentonville. They have a drive-through one, and the first time I had it done, the guy said, "I recommend you hold on to the steering wheel really tight and don't move." He goes, "If you move, it's going to bleed." And so, I was white knuckled, but we got through it. And so
I can't wait.
I know. I'm trying to be help, you know, be a blessing to you.
Well, I did. And they didn't do a blood test, right?
No, just a nose. Just the nose.
Were you positive? You were negative.
I was negative both times. One was because I was feeling sick, and the other time I had a surgery recently and had to have me tested before the surgery. So
so here's what we're going to do. We'll have about 20 people in this room, and we told them all at Clinton Vocal Band, go get tested because you're going to be with an 84-year-old man. we got to protect the legend, Michael.
That's it, the legend. Hey, it's incredible. 84 years old. And first of all, you don't look 84 and you still got tons of energy. And I guess as we wrap up the interview, my last question to you would be this. What do you see after all of these years? What is your greatest professional accomplishment? And what do you hope to be remembered for when they go to write the history book of gospel music?
He was a bridge. He brought people together. And if you go back through our history, I mean, the songs we have written, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God," loving God, loving each other, making music with my friends. "I am loved, you are loved, for the one who knows me best loves me most." The church triumphant is alive and well. I think there's a way we can rise above that. And I just believe with all of my heart that there are more things that unite us than divide us. I asked a preacher recently, I said, "What if you," and he was cutting it pretty narrow. I said, "And maybe you're right, but what if you get to heaven and you find out God's amazing grace was a whole lot more amazing than what you thought it would be?" Would that make you happy? Or would that make you angry? You know what? I think we're going to be surprised.
Yeah.
You know, we've written so many lyrics, or when I say lyrics, that sweet lady I live with has written them, most of the lyrics. I always kid her. I said, "He Touched Me" is a BG song. You know what that means?
Before Gloria.
And I just feel like something good to happen, that's a BG song. But if the lyric gets very deep, like "I then shall live as one who's learned compassion. I've been so loved. I'll risk loving too. When it gets that deep, it's got to be Gloria. So I would hope that when they come by that tombstone, they would say, that was a bridge builder.
Yeah.
That was a guy who said, let's get, and the same thing is true. We segregate on so many levels. Yeah, I know there's such a thing as a racial segregation. That's bad. But you know something just as bad? I think age segregation is bad. I'm old. I don't want to be put in a room with a whole bunch of old people. I want some middle-aged people. I want some young people. I want some babies in there. And yeah. and any kind of music that says you don't belong here because you don't understand this, I don't think that can be of God. I mean, I want to be there. And so to the old people, I say, loosen up a little bit. You might like this. And I've done this all my life, Michael.
Yeah.
I got the scars on my back to prove it. And yeah. To the young people, I say, how can you be so arrogant to think that God can only connect with us musically and spiritually with something that's been written only in the last year or two or three?
Yeah.
That's arrogance.
Yeah.
Get on your knees, repent about it, ask God to forgive you, and accept a great, great hymn of theology like, could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stock on every earth a quill, were every man a scribe a trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretch from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich, how pure, how marvelous, how strong. Loosen up, kids. I said that to a young contemporary artist, and he said, where did that lyric come from? And I told him, tell me you've heard of that song. I never heard of it. You know, so we got a wonderful history. Let's embrace our history. Let's be open to all the new stuff. May we be solid as a mountain.
Yeah.
On the things that we need to be solid, but may we flow like the river when there are some new things and new ideas coming down that can help make us more beautiful. Yes, we should stand, and yes, we should move. So
wonderful.
Every head bowed, every eye closed, we'll give an invitation to see if we got any comments.
Well, Bill, thank you so very much for taking the time to be with us. This has been a highlight of my life, certainly, and I know that the music lives on, and the music still ministers to people, and we're grateful to have in the field of gospel music someone like you who has been a builder, a bridge builder, for all of these years. So thank you for being with us,
Michael. Thank you. And the next time we're even close to Bentonville, I think we were just there last year at one of the big major churches. And I can remember going out to the airport to get on the plane afterwards. I never saw so many private jets in my life. My lands, you guys, from a business perspective, are alive and well down there in the Bentonville area.
We are. We've got Walmart, Tyson and Foods.
And chicken.
And chicken, I tell you. Somebody said that when you fly into the Bentonville airport, you see them pushing the cows off the runway. I don't know if that's true or not, but
you got to make two attempts, one to shoo all the chickens off the runway and then one to actually come in.
Come in. I love it. Well, thank you so much. And folks, join us next Wednesday night for another exciting episode with our very special guest, Sissy Graham Lynch, the granddaughter of Billy Graham, daughter of Franklin Graham, will be with us next week. Thanks for watching. God bless.
Bless you.
Special thanks to Bill Gaither, Gaither Music Group, Gaither Studios, Terry Garner, Gina Briscoe, and Brianna Dill. Evening Show Live is a media ministry of Bethel Baptist Church in Bentonville, Arkansas. To learn more about Bethel, visit our website, BethelBentonville.com. To watch past episodes of Evening Show Live, visit EveningShowLive.com.